Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a Slice of Empathy podcast. Today, we have the pleasure of hosting Tamara Pflug, a fun and insightful confidence coach who is dedicated to helping individuals lead more fulfilling lives. Get ready to be inspired as Tamara shares her wisdom on embracing self-acceptance and listening to her intuition. Tamara, thank you so, so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. No, really, I thank you a lot. It's super nice. I always love also meeting new people and getting inspired. And,
well, me too, so, for sure. So yeah, I'd love to learn a little bit more about your background. I did take a peek a little bit. But I'd love to just kind of share with our listeners a little bit about yourself, and we can go ahead and dive in from there.
To be a teacher, and I loved it. You know, kids are so simple, authentic, you know, they don't take things so seriously, like up to a certain age. So I love being a teacher. And at the same time, I realized a little bit that, like, adults around me and kids around me, we kind of miss a little bit some like learning, such as, you know, building our confidence. I don't know, having our own back when we make decision, have better communication, like have amazing relationship, deeply connect with other people. I think the thing that truly make us happy. So I started learning a bit of personal development, like, you know, listening to podcasts, and I started really like wanting to learn life coaching. I heard about it. So this is how I graduated from my first coaching certification in 2015. And since this day, I've been coaching on many topics such as time management, dating was a very funny one, relationship, weight loss a little bit. And then I saw that deep down, it comes often to like loving ourselves, like giving ourselves permission to believe something about ourselves, that we are worthy, that we are enough. So this is how I decided to really coach people on confidence and to become a confidence coach. And I use myself to struggle a lot with confidence, wanting, you know, validation and approval from other people. So this is how I said, like, I probably can help people because I get where they are, but at the same time, I want to be in integrity with my work. So I got coached a lot on this, and if I could do this, I believe that everybody else can too. So this is how I came to be a confidence coach. And then I added the fun tagline because I believe that we take ourselves and our lives very seriously and we can all have much more uncomplicated lives, I believe.
I love that. Your words really resonate with me because even now, it's always something that I'm still personally, even though in the past maybe 10 years, I feel like my confidence has vastly improved. I feel like it's always something I'm still working on. And I think a lot of our listeners can relate to. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah, I think, you know, we all are like struggling. I mean, struggling, the world is strong, but it is true that at some point we feel confident, at some point, like, we feel insecure. I think it's not, you know, one kind of people are confident, other people are not. I think it's just, you know, an emotion generated by what we're thinking. So sometimes we do have these thoughts coming up that generate insecurity and self-doubt. So I totally get you where you're there.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, I have moments of where I feel really confident and I'm not, you know, hyper-focused on what other people are thinking. And then there are sometimes there are those moments of doubt that kind of creep in every now and again. So I'm wondering if you can explain, for those of us who may be struggling with imposter syndrome and dealing with some of those barriers that prevent us from living our best lives, what would you recommend if there's anything that you maybe like to speak on to that? Or maybe your best words of advice would be to someone who might be going through that.
Yes, absolutely. So this is what I do all day long. I'm glad to be helping you guys. So I believe actually that our brain's job, you know, is to keep us alive and not to make us happy. So basically, it's very predisposed. Like, we have all of this amazing part of our brain that is kind of primitive brain, you know, from our brother and sister that were living in caves. So it's just always looking for danger. It just always want to make sure that we'll stay alive. So when we feel this self-imposter syndrome, and I, you know, it's still coming back to it. It's just that I less listen to it, and I'm going to tell you more how to do it also. It's just our brain, literally, when we feel this imposter syndrome, it's probably usually when we do something new, you know, the brain likes what is familiar. You know, we also like our home. We like to travel, but it's just comfortable. We are comfortable with what we know, which is the same for our brain. So what is happening is that when we are taking risks or doing something a bit different, a bit of out of comfort zone, like they like to say, our brain is really like freaking out. It thinks that we are going to die. So it thinks it's very, very risky, kind of back to the old days in the caves, risky. So it is going to offer us thoughts of, like, you cannot do this. this is really at stake. Like, you cannot go back. Something's wrong with you. All of these thoughts that create insecurity or like imposter syndrome. And the way to go, which is very simple, but not easy to do because we are, again, our brain is on automatic. You know, like we basically, we have all 60,000 thoughts per day. And I heard recently that 95% of what we think like today, like every day, is what we've been thinking yesterday. So again, of course, we feel imposter syndrome because if we felt it yesterday, our brain just think, yeah, they feel good like this. It saved them. So I'm going to offer the same thoughts. So to answer your question, the way to really like do it to less actually feel this insecurity and this self-doubt and imposter syndrome is to not believe our brain. Like, we are not our brain. We are not our thoughts. So it's not because we believe, well, this is very risky. Even if it's not exactly the thought we have, it's maybe I may fail doing this presentation. It doesn't mean anything about us. It doesn't mean anything about the presentation. It's just a thought that we happen like to believe to be true. So the way to go is to just try to go out of your body and observe what we are thinking, which it's really this little voice, you know, that is chatting so much in our head, but really it's just to not believe everything we think. We think it's the reality, but actually it's an interpretation of the reality.
Oh, that is so true. And I definitely can relate to that. And anytime I do any sort of public speaking, I try to remind myself that. And generally some of my thoughts when I find like kind of that anxiety kind of creeping up, and sometimes those moments of self-doubt, I'm like, you know, what is the worst that can happen? Yeah. Like, and I try to really analyze why am I feeling so anxious? And then so when I feel like when I get to the root of that, I'm like, you know what? There isn't really a reason for me to feel that way. And, you know, and so that's really, really kind of helped me kind of get over that hurdle, I think. And especially like when I started podcasting, I feel like that's kind of helped as well with my speaking skills, because I'm always like, okay, what if I run over my words, or what if I do this and that? Yeah. And then at the end, I'm like, you know, that wasn't so bad. I don't know why I was so anxious about that.
Yeah, that's so good. You're sharing this. Like, it's true. It's not also, you know, the idea, for example, of we have, I'm maybe not good enough. It's sometimes just a thought that we have, you know, you, me, I think a lot of people. But I like the idea. I heard it one day that it's not because I have this thought, like, I'm maybe not good enough. It doesn't mean anything about how good enough I am. It's just a thought, you know. So you can use it for any thought you have, you know, that creates insecurity.
I really love that. And it's funny. I know, as you mentioned, we're so used to things that are comfortable to us. And as I mentioned, I'm an avid traveler. I love traveling, seeing different parts of the world. But when it comes like to that, you know, before going on my flight and I'm usually like in packing mode, I tend to get kind of anxious. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, do I have everything? And yeah, kind of get this pre-travel anxiety. As much as I love to travel, I don't love kind of like the few days kind of stress leading up to it. And so I think it has to do with that, you know, making sure like, oh, I have those things that are comfortable to me. And so something that I found that works for me as I kind of navigate that is, you know, of course I make sure that I take everything that I like know I'm going to need, like medicine, things like that. But I'm like, you know, worst case scenario, if I forget something, I probably could just buy it there and it's not going to be, it's going to be okay. I feel like that's kind of helped me with the pre-travel anxiety, because people will be like, you love to travel so much. And they wouldn't think that. I think a lot of people may tend to go through something similar. So I think sharing that has kind of helped a lot of people. I'm like, you know, I'm traveling, but you know, as a creature of habit, you know, we're comfortable with the things that are familiar. And, you know, for me, I know, especially like I get a little uncomfortable with the fear of the unknown. So I feel like a lot of people can definitely understand that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it goes after to the idea when you mentioned traveling, and, you know, we talked about how much we both like to travel before jumping on this call. But it's true that what we can do also, which I think you've been using it since you're doing public speaking, it's also to expect, you know, these thoughts, this uncomfortability to show up, you know. So every time before we travel, I really join you on this. I know I'm going to have thoughts, like my brain will offer me the same thoughts in the same situation of before traveling, that it is going to be annoying to pack, you know, like you're going to move to another place. So I just expect, and then I don't think that anything has gone wrong, you know, and it just makes me kind of laugh. And, you know, it's all going with the idea of empathy, I think, like just being like, yeah, I get it. It makes sense, brain. You know, you're just trying, you know, and repeating yourself, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And I think kind of when thinking about that and thinking about our intuition, can you share with us how you help your clients kind of tap into that and kind of learn to trust themselves more in some of their decision-making?
Yeah, so what is interesting, I think, is often, you know, because we have, like, there is Google, there are so many things as of today, you know, with AI and everything, there are so many ways that we can get answers to every question we have. But I think that the best is to cultivate the answer that comes from within, because there are often really good answers. You know, it's like when people give you advice, you're like, I may try this, you know, it doesn't fit, you know, it's like a puzzle piece, you know. So to answer your question, to listen to our intuition is really a practice. Like, it's like a muscle that we have to grow, because I think the biggest fear behind is like not to be in touch with our intuition is we are afraid that we may be wrong, you know, and then take action or do something that we may fail, you know. And again, the brain doesn't like negative, uncomfortable emotion, because if it's, for example, around the emotion of fear, the brain literally thinks that it's a sign that we may be like at risk of our life, you know, for our life. So to answer your question, what we do usually in the coaching sessions is we look always, you know, for like where people feel it is confusion or overwhelm, where there are kind of situations that like they feel stuck, they want to change something. So we look at what do they think the answer, if they, you know, I always like to say I work in the business of possibilities. You know, I believe that everything is possible. We can have it all. So when we actually look at a specific problem, like somebody that is feeling stuck in like a situation, we look at what they're thinking about it. Like, why do they feel stuck? Usually it's a bunch of thoughts, you know, that they are sharing. And then we look at all of them and see if they are true, if it's serving them to think them. And then we look at what could be the solution, the strategy to overcome, like to get unstuck or anything that happened. It's just easier to look at specific situation in people's lives. So this is how we build slowly the intuition. And we go with the idea that my first guess is my best answer. And then we go with it and we practice, you know, celebrating if it's working out, no matter the situation that we have in our life. Instead of looking on the inside for answers, we look on the inside. And yeah, instead of looking on the outside, we look on the inside and we try. And worst case, I always like to say this, the worst case that can happen always is an emotion. So it's rejection, failure. And then we learn also, you know, the confidence coaching. For me, it's all about the willingness and the ability to feel any kind of emotion. This is, I think, where the secret of genuine confidence reside. So to answer your question, it's a practice. And yeah, it just works, I'm sure. We have all the answers inside of us. I'm convinced of this.
Absolutely. I really love that. And kind of touching on that, when it comes to kind of decision-making and thinking about our confidence levels, I know there are so many different voices like outside of us, could be family members, could be friends, could be people, yes, anyone around us. And I think when we're in that decision-making process, or maybe we have something in mind that we've already decided, but then some of the outside feedback kind of comes in, how would you suggest to any of your clients or maybe some of our listeners who might be struggling with that, like outside opinions, maybe they feel like they're being influenced? And how would you kind of advise someone who might be going through that, even if it's maybe the feedback is well-intended, but maybe they don't agree with it, but it causes them maybe to question their own judgment? How would you advise someone who might be going through that?
Yes, absolutely. So I like to tell people, and I will tell you today also, that in the world, it's something also that I learned in one of my coaching certification, and it's based on cognitive behavioral therapy, that our thoughts create our reality. You know, I mentioned that what we're thinking, this is what basically everything we have in our life was first created in like what we're thinking. I don't even think it's that spiritual. I think it's kind of a low like gravity, you know. So anyway, so what I was saying is that in the world, so there are two things, you know, there are circumstances on one side, like there are neutral facts such as your age, the capital of a country, the weather, which I'm not sure it's totally like a neutral fact, but it's facts that we all agree on in a court of law. And then what is amazing and where all of our power resides is in what we're thinking, these thoughts about the circumstances. So until today, we usually think automatically, you know, something happened or there is a circumstance or somebody is telling us something and we have a thought about it. But actually, our power really resides in choosing intentionally what we want to think about what this person has told us. Sorry, it's getting late. So the way to go actually is, it's such a good question you're asking, because we all face it. You know, people, as you mentioned, have really good intention. So when someone is telling us something, like giving us feedback, it is a neutral circumstance until we have a thought about it. You know, people used to like to say, they hurt my feelings, but there's always what the person is saying. And right between how we feel and what this person said, there is something we're thinking, the way we interpret it, which always, you know, it's a good example that sometimes in a similar situation, two people will have a complete different reaction, you know, because again, it's what they make it mean, like what they're thinking about this feedback. So to answer your question, the way to go is to really look at it again from a place of empathy, like compassion and curiosity, and look at this feedback and first acknowledge that, yeah, it is for sure coming from a good place. I believe that people, as clumsy as it looks, they always have a good intention behind, like they want a positive result to anything they're doing. And so the way to go really is to question yourself, like, okay, this is what they told me. It's fine. It's neutral until I have a thought. And then to realize, so, okay, is there some truth into this? Do I want to implement it? What do I think about it? Very often we want people to give us like approval, validation, you know, or tell us like, I'm proud of you, or like, I believe in you. So then we ourselves can tell ourselves this, you know, so this is, I think it's very empowering, because when you think about it, when it comes to confidence and yeah, all of this emotion of like, yeah, feeling generally good on the inside, there's never going to be enough people that can tell us something until we like believe it ourselves in our bones, you know? So really to just take the feedback, take the best, leave the rest of the feedback and wonder if we can apply it, like implement it in our life, and try to be really curious and look at if like it is true for us, and if we can also just like, again, leave it alone and not implement it. But very often the best defense is to attack back, you know, because there is a truth, like a part of it, of the feedback that we might we consider to be true. So it's just always, I think people are our best teachers, you know, so people can tell us stuff and it's always something we will have a thought about it. And this is where the best personal development journey can be, you know, in what people are telling us, because they're just a reflection of what we're thinking on the inside, you know.
That's 100%. And I 100% agree with that. And it's something that I've learned somewhat recently. I think it, like people will say in different ways, but like kind of take some and leave some. So sometimes, like, you know, if it's like maybe from a parent or a family member or a friend, and maybe the advice is well intended, and maybe there's parts of it you're like, cause you kind of maybe to think, well, maybe that's true, but also like maybe there are some things you don't agree with or that align with your own values. So that's kind of where I think, well, maybe the like kind of the take some and leave some method kind of applies, because I think we're all, you know, we're all humans with our own unique experiences and, you know, wants and likes. And for example, I have several friends who they don't understand why I like to travel, and that I don't, you know, it's hard for me to relate to them sometimes, because I'm like, I don't understand, you know, I can't imagine a world like where I'm not traveling. But, you know, I understand, like, you know, their thoughts and feelings are, that's totally valid, even though I personally can't relate to it. They have a different perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I totally respect that, even though that's not for me. And maybe they like, you know, like we sometimes don't get each other. And that way, I think what it comes down to is, you know, we respect that maybe we have some differences in that area. And so sometimes, like, I try to understand why, like, their line of thinking, you know, like maybe they like, the, there are some downsides of traveling and vice versa, like for sure. Like, and my mom and I were just talking about it recently. You know, there are just, one of my things that I like to implement when I'm traveling is kind of expect the unexpected or plan for the unexpected, because I'm very much a planner, but sometimes things don't always go to plan. And sometimes it happens. You kind of have to kind of expect it and kind of plan for the unplanned, I guess I should say. And so I know for a lot of people that would cause them like a lot of anxiety and, you know, frustration. And so in that way, when I see it like that, like I can understand that maybe like why this may not be for everybody. And I totally get that. So I think, you know, as you were mentioning with being like more intuitive and kind of like thinking about like what your what your personal wants and desires are and being more intentional. I think that's one of the things that I've been working on personally within the last couple of years is being intentional to my wants and desires, regardless of maybe what other people might think. Mm. And of course, I know, like, for the most part, like, the advice might be coming from a very loving place, but maybe there's just some areas where we may not agree on things, and that's okay, you know? I love your thoughts on that.
No, it's amazing. I think, you know, it's funny you mentioned this about traveling, because people always tell me, for example, I could not have my own home, because we travel every 3 months, you know, we are there, we move very, very often. As much as we do slow travel, so we kind of build our home everywhere we go, I do understand that there are some, you know, positive and negative in everything in life. And when people used to tell me this, I got a bit offended, like trying to justify, you know, why I was having this lifestyle and what is better, not better, but like not trying to convince, but just defend, you know, my point of view. But again, it goes down to the idea that when you are at peace with what you think like is okay for you, and again, seeking validation and approval, people, it's never going to be enough. You know, people are again telling us your lifestyle is amazing. Like, it all depends what we believe on the inside. I think this is why people are always amazing teachers to just look at not where our work is. I don't want to make it sound serious, but just something. I wonder why, like, they're telling me this, and why do I feel this way? Why do I feel so offended? Probably, maybe I believe it to be true. Maybe it's a problem. Just for fun, to look at it from a place of fun. And again, I said compassion and curiosity. Just, I wonder why I react like this. And I think being curious is everything. It just makes instead of beating ourselves up, you know, I think. But I really can relate with everything you said. It's exactly, we are the same for this, I think.
I love it. Couldn't have said it better. I think it was just amazing how you said that, because I think, like, ultimately, I think, you know, we have to be true to our own experiences. And sometimes people are going to have, maybe from their own experiences, they're going to have different thoughts on it. And that's okay. And so I really, really appreciate your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to ask you, actually, I'm curious for the intuition one. I wanted to ask you, and I forgot, what do you think can help people build their intuition? Like, how did you said you wanted to live more intentionally? Is it connected for you together, or are you just like wanting to just build your intuition? Like, what do you have to say about this? I always love, you know, hearing other people's point of view on this.
Well, for sure. So I think for me, living intentionally is kind of living like to be my most authentic self. And that's like regardless of maybe outside opinions or thoughts, and just kind of like, even if it's like breaking the status quo or something that's not conform, like if it makes me happy, then that's what matters. And it's funny, my husband and I were just having like this conversation not too long ago. And I actually really admire him, because he said, you know, he's like, you know, if it makes us happy, like, he's like, I really don't care, like, with what other people think. And I really admired that about him, because like, for me, for like so long, I was like, I would let like outside feedback really kind of get to my mind, get to my brain, and kind of make me question the things that I'm doing. And I think that within the last couple of years, living intentionally for me means like, you know, doing things that bring me joy, whether, you know, outside folks may agree with that or not. And I think just being true to myself and living the life that I want to live, no matter what people think, I think is like how you can be your most authentic self.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny. I think for this, we are really the same, because without sounding, it's so cliche, you know, I just like that he's like my partner, he's so practical on stuff. So I join you so much on this, because he used to say, but who cares? Like, why do you care about their opinion? And you know, like, I was like, yeah, it's right. Slowly, slowly, you know, it doesn't always easy. Again, it's like, you know, he telling me this when I have this in the circumstance, you know, like as he's telling me who cares, my brain straight offers me the sort of, but then they won't love you like this. You know, of course, it's offering me, you know what I'm talking about? But then he's like, but who cares? Why do you care so much? I'm almost mad, you know, like not getting it.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that, because I think that it stems from so many things like self-love, confidence, and living intentionally. As you mentioned, like a lot of people, you know, and I think it's a human thing. We want validation. And when we think about when we don't have that validation, are we losing that person's love? And I think for me, it's like, it comes to like reminding myself, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that person loves me or likes me any less, even if we don't agree on something. And that's okay. Now, if this is something that really breaks our relationship, like maybe I should maybe rethink that relationship, right? I think that's can be really, really helpful to kind of remind ourselves that, like, you know, it's not, I think we have these like worst case scenarios in our mind that can happen if we deviate from the norm, or maybe, you know, if we exercise our confidence to a level that maybe others are uncomfortable with, you know, and just kind of think, oh, you know, that this person's going to say that, or what are people going to think of me? And, you know, I think, yeah, there's a lot of truth to that, 100%.
Yeah. And, you know, just to add this, because it goes with the first advice, you know, I ask me like how to, when we feel some imposter syndrome coming up, I think the idea of, you know, we want other people to love us, it's when you get aware of it, like when you know that it's something you're thinking, it goes back again to reassuring ourselves that it's our brain, that this little part, very little part, but there is a part in our brain that wants us to be a part of the tribe, you know? So I think back then, again, if you're alone and not being loved, it means, yeah, really, you literally, there are chances you may die. So I think it's a good way, like, you know, to make peace also with, like, I've been thinking this, I don't want them to be depending, you know, on their love. But I think from a place, again, of empathy, compassion and curiosity towards ourselves and our brain, that, again, just its job is just to keep us alive and not make us happy. It just kind of relieving to know, I just have a healthy brain, it's working perfectly, it just want me to be a part of the tribe. So it does want me to be loved by anybody. But again, the most important, as you mentioned, is us to love ourselves. I think it's the easiest and most efficient way, I believe.
Exactly. And I love that. And kind of like leading into my next question, when we talk about, you know, the influence of others and opinions of others and influencing our life and decisions and confidence. In your experience, can you tell us about how building that confidence can maybe impact other areas of our lives, such as like maybe our relationships or career or friendships that we might have?
Yes. So actually what is interesting is that often we think that others have to change, the world has to change, you know, our job has to be different. So then we can feel better. But as we talked about before, the circumstances, like things around us, are kind of neutral, and we can always, you know, choose to look at it a certain way that actually makes us feel good. So people are always, you know, neutral circumstances. Like basically we try to change the world and we try to change people and our job, you know, to feel better. But actually it's always, again, we will have a thought about these neutral circumstances, like about someone, about our job, about like the world, and then we can feel good. But the best way is to do it, the opposite, is to feel good first, and it will influence our life. So for example, the relationship, I believe that you need just one person to improve any relationship that you have, which means that you don't have to have the heavy conversation or like, I need to tell her my truth and then she will, you know, apply it and our relationship will be better. The best is always to, what we think we have problem in a relationship, it's often thoughts error that we have about this person, you know, we could talk hours about this. But so the best way to answer your question, the way to go is really actually to find peace on the inside, to, you know, find this, I like to say, genuine emotional peace and freedom. Confidence for me, it really goes back to having the willingness again and the ability to feel any kind of emotion. And then basically nothing can touch you, like in your life can, things can happen and a lot of adversity, but you know that the worst that can happen is an emotion, and you know that you can handle any kind of emotion. So really, this confidence deep down, again, people are doing things, the world is happening, and you have this kind of bubble where you feel really, really at peace. And then you deal with things, but from a completely different energy. You know, you're not trying to solve problems. You just go through life, you have negative emotions, and you deal with them. And this, what is amazing is that we want other people to change. We want the world to change, as I mentioned. But when we change, it's crazy, because in our attitude, you know, in, you know, we see, you know, people sitting down or like walking down the street, you could almost guess what they're thinking. So it has such a big influence on our, you know, yeah, state of mind and our surrounding when we work on ourselves. And I think it's very simple. The work is just paying attention to what we're thinking. And yeah, be much more, as you said, intentional with what we're thinking. Like, I think we should choose our thoughts, like what we're thinking, as we choose our clothes every day. It will be much more efficient. So this is the biggest impact of feeling genuinely at peace on the inside, I think.
I love that. And I definitely think feeling at peace with our own wants and desires is crucial to having that confidence, and especially having it, having the longevity of it and having that last, even though sometimes maybe those thoughts kind of might come in every now and then, the self-doubt thoughts. So I'm thinking that with that, is there a particular experience or a story that you maybe you could share in maybe one of your coaching sessions, a success story that you may have worked with someone who's really like kind of stands on top of your mind that you'd like to maybe share with us?
Yes, thank you for asking. One that I really like is, you know, we can use this personal development a bit against ourselves, you know, such as something's wrong with me, something has to be fixed, I can do better than this. And it goes with the idea of when I'm going to reach there, when I'm going to get there, then I will be worthy. So there is something that I love to do is, of course, I like, coaching my clients. I take what they're telling me very seriously. And at the same time, I just want to, like, for all of us to loosen it up a bit, like to, for example, decision making. This client came with the idea of wanting to be an amazing decision maker. But the way that she was talking about it was really that actually she, like, kind of the moment that she will be able to make good decisions, she will feel proud, she will feel, confident. And around this idea of making better decision, we talked about first, of course, what decision making is all about, and that there's no right or wrong decision. There's just the decision we decide to make right and have our own back, like as I mentioned before. But what I want to share with this is from everything that people are, your audience is listening from your podcast, is to not use this work against ourselves, to also take it easy. And the approach, I think the way we approach thought work will determine our experience of it. You know, I like to say that our attitude determines our experience. So all of this, it's also just for fun. We're not going to get worse there, because I believe, you know, we are worse just as we are. And I like, you know, to give the example of a newborn, you know, they just were born, and everybody's crazier about them. They are so important, so valuable. And when you think about it, they did not achieve anything. They did not even say anything. And they almost like cry a lot and everything, but people find them so valuable, important. So this is why I want to say that nobody has to do anything to become worthy. I think we were born like this, and then we do it actually just for the fun, you know, just, So this is what I would say.
I love that. And I'm so glad you shared that, because I think, like, you know, even for me and maybe some of our listeners too, I think when we kind of struggle with confidence, I think it's partially in because of maybe that fear of making the wrong decision. And I know, you know, depending on, you know, someone's past, there might be so many different variables to that. But I think there is a lot of fear. I'm going to make the wrong decision. I'm going to make the wrong choice. But I think also, there is some liberation in the thought that, you know, like you said, I love that, you know, there are no wrong decisions. It's just a decision. I love that you said that, because I think that, you know, we need to normalize, like, you know, if we make a choice and maybe not necessarily we figure out later that that wasn't the right choice for us, normalizing that, you know, that's okay. That's, you know, kind of how we learn and discover. But I think, like, in this world of, like, kind of like perfectionism, I think folks are worried about making the wrong choice, or maybe seeing a choice that kind of, you know, is it what they wanted to do, or maybe kind of brings them back from where they were hoping to be. And so I really love that you touched on that, because I think a lot of folks really struggle with that. And so I know for me personally, I've made a lot of decisions, like, you know, maybe that wasn't the best decision, but, you know, I probably wouldn't be here today if I hadn't made that learning process. And that's okay. Like, it's okay to, like, make decisions and, you know, and find out, well, maybe that, you know, wasn't the best, but, you know, here I learned from it, and, you know, how else to learn. So I love that you mentioned that.
No, and you can always make another decision. I think this is, you know, what I wanted to say. People make it, like, take it so seriously, like decision making. You notice what I said before? It sounds just so heavy, that this is one of the moments that I like to share before, is just to make it also, like, not chill and relax, but not taking it so seriously. I think our life is very seriously. Like, I help people have a better life and feel better. And at the same time, just to, you know, sometimes relax and just realize that it's worst case. I think decision, you know, you can always make another one. But I agree with you. We are all afraid that there will be, you know, that it will be a bad decision. And I think it's more what we will make it mean, you know, again, that we are bad decision maker, that we are a bad person. I think people do believe this sometimes about themselves, which is normal.
I love that you mentioned that, because I think, and even for me personally, like, I think a lot of folks, they associate with making a bad choice or a bad decision with, does this like make me a bad person? And I know, yeah. I've struggled with that in the past. It's like, okay, I'm a bad person. I made the bad choice, or, you know, and I think that like, it kind of humanizes us when we think about that, you know, and not, you know, and just kind of bringing it back to, you know, this doesn't make me a bad person. Maybe I made, you know, a bad decision or something like that, or a bad, yeah, it's, make me a bad person.
Yeah, it's what you said. You know, I think it's the idea also of not identifying with our thoughts, you know, because we believe this about ourselves. We put ourselves like in a box that, yeah, we are bad at decision making. You know, people come often with this, like, I did so many bad decisions, you know, but I think also, you know, there are small decisions we do. I think there are also something like 60,000 or so, I think, decisions we make per day, a lot unconsciously, you know, like I'm brushing my teeth and all of this. But we can be a good decision maker when we look at all the decisions that the good decisions we made, and we make so many more. But again, the brain likes to, you know, to repeat the past. So it is going to offer us negative thoughts about the, like, negative, bad, quote unquote, like, decision that we made. But actually, it's again what you said about being intentional and looking at all the good decisions we made. You
know? Yes. And I love that you mentioned that. I didn't realize that, like, we made so many decisions per day, but it makes sense. And I think that might be where, like, the term, like, decision fatigue kind of comes in, because I've experienced this personally. Like, it tires me, like, when I figure out, like, oh, I have all these decisions to make, and I'm just like,
for sure,
busted.
No, 100%. And I think it's exactly, you know, you just said it all. But it's true, the decision-making it's very tiring. This is why a lot of people talk about constraints, you know, just, for example, for closers, just, you know, to have, the brain doesn't like to use energy. Again, I think it's from the past. It just wants to make sure we save it for the real risk that can happen. So it hates spending energy. This is why also we get tired, and I think easily also because it's not made for this, all of these decisions, you know. In the past, I think it was not that critical, you know, all of these decisions as of today.
So, and kind of with that in mind, kind of bringing it home a little bit, can you tell us a little bit about how, you know, you are able to maintain your own sense of confidence and positivity, especially maybe if you are maybe faced with any setbacks or challenges? If you maybe could share that with our listeners, how you're able to kind of remain confident, even if sometimes maybe you might have a setback or some intrusive thought maybe occurs.
Yeah. And it's so funny, honestly, Valerie, that you mentioned this, because I just, like, honestly felt it right doing this podcast recording with you. The thing is, I think it's like a hammer, you know, you can use it or to build a house, or you can use it to kill someone, which, because I love this kind of TV shows and movies. But I mean, it all depends what we use it for. So, like, really, to give an example, like, I believe we can use everything, again, against ourselves, like to beat ourselves up or to love ourselves more. So what is funny, and I'm going to be transparent here and mention it, is like you asked me a question and suddenly I had thoughts such as, you have to say something smart, or, like, I don't know, my brain offered me something. I got blank. I forgot what you told me. And I really like the first reaction always, because I think it is easier to hate yourself, not hate maybe, but to, like, criticize ourselves. It's just because it takes kind of maybe courage, or we think it's a bit arrogant, you know, to, like, love ourselves and to be there for ourselves. So I saw really these thoughts exactly like a few minutes ago, honestly. And what I did is just, like, first I'm trying to tell myself, like, I want to be in integrity with my work. So I want to be a product of my product. So you can do this. Of course, I have a little bit of this. But that being said, I put just two hands on my chest, like, and I just tell myself, like, okay, again, being a product of my product, like, it's nothing has gone wrong. It's this kind of little self, like, it happens, and it doesn't mean anything about the coach that I am, the conversation that I have, like, you meeting you. I'm trying not to identify myself, like, as maybe I'm not as confident coach as I should be. There's no should, they're just having a human experience, a human life, which is, honestly, my brain will offer me this kind of thought, because again, it wants you and all of your audience to love me. So I think to just reassure ourselves that it will happen, and it's a moving target. You know, we want to be confident, but I think, like, life and also circumstances will not test us, but it will offer us occasion to, you know, shake this confidence. And as long as we are here for ourselves, again, to use all of these experiences as a way to love ourselves more, to find empathy, for sure, for us and for ourselves. And yeah, anyway, I see no upside of beating ourselves up. So what's the alternative? But it does take practice, I think. And it goes also with the idea of, like, choosing, like, consciously, intentionally, as you talked about, to not accept beating ourselves up. So my brain is offering me these thoughts, but I am not believing them. I just look at them like train passing in a train station, clouds in the sky, and it's a practice, but you redirect your brain, redirect on what you ask me, and there we go. This is how it's a practice, but everybody can do it. I have no doubt about it.
I absolutely love that you share that because I know I struggle with that too. And actually, like, I've had podcast episodes where I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, I don't think I did as well as I could have done.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, oh, I don't know. And I'll be telling my husband or telling my mom, like, you know, I don't think that was my best work, you know, and I don't know, maybe I could have been extra tired or something that day, but I try to give myself kind of that grace, you know, and that it's okay. Yeah. Like, and you know, I'm somewhat of a new podcaster. So, you know, I think like even when I also do YouTube, and when I first started out, and I think this can be applied to anything that you start for the first time, like it, you know, it takes, like, as I say, practice takes perfect. Like, you know, when you do so many and then you kind of look back and you think about all of the progress that you made along the way, doesn't, you know, not to say that like you won't still make mistakes, but like how, like kind of see where you've come from and kind of see like how, like, wow, I've really improved since I first started. You know, yeah. You kind of have to start in order to get to, like, you know, from A to Z, you have to get started. You know, you kind of have to do the work, and you kind of like, oh, you know, maybe that wasn't my best, but I'm going to, you know, vow to continue to improve. And I love that you share that because sometimes I'm editing my episodes and I'm thinking, I'm like, I say too much, or I say like too much, and I got to edit this out. And so I think honestly, that's kind of how I kind of came up with the title of this podcast. It's just like, you know, the empathy, like I think we all can relate in that way. And I think it's a way that we all can kind of unite and be empathetic with one another, because we're all human and we're all experiencing like these things. But I think a lot of times it's not really talked about. So I'm really glad that you shared that with us today.
Yeah. And I think, again, it's never black and white. This is also a cognitive bias. You know, the brain cannot reinvent the wheel. So it does it doing shortcuts every day, but it's not black and white. Like sometimes, exactly what you said, some days we are going to feel really good about ourselves, sometimes not. But I think it's just part of the bigger kind of, I believe we are all big messes, but good messes. I think it's just part of the human nature. Yeah, being alive and having all of this amazing brain, but at the same time it's a complex tool, you know. So I think not to again beat ourselves up, but I really like agree with you on this. And I think, you know, like it's also nice to see, I would like to see other people, you know, like be themselves, be authentic. So this is what I'm trying, you know, to embody as myself. I was like, this is exactly who I am, and we can have a wonderful life, like for sure, even if we feel this way, you know. Sometimes it doesn't have to be perfect, I believe.
100%. And I'm so grateful that you were able to join me today. And I know it's late over where you are. What time is it there?
It's 11 almost. This is why I apologize, but I really wanted to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. That makes me like, I'm so honored that you say that, because I woke up this morning and like, you know, if I was still in France, it would be something like about 10 or 11 o'clock right now. And I'm like, so I can totally understand. And I don't want to keep you, you know, I want you to go and get some rest.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for joining me. And I'm just so honored that, you know, you took the time and, you know, to join me today. And, you know, I do work at 9 to 5 during the week. And so I know it's hard for folks to be able to pop on the weekend or weeknights and what have you. So I'm so thankful. And I loved our conversation. And before we hop off, can you tell our listeners where we can connect with you, or maybe where they can book a coaching session?
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I really had a good time. So yeah, you can, like, folks can find me on my website. So it's personal-zone.com. And basically, this is a website I started also in 2017, like a blog. So it's actually also a proof of confidence. You don't have to be ready, just start. And I'm also on Instagram, you know, Tamara Fun Confidence Coach, on Pinterest, and yeah, a few platforms, but for sure you can find me if you write Tamara Pflug, which is Pflug, which is like you sneezing. Nobody, I cannot even pronounce it. And you can find me on Google also. Like I have a few articles and some fun stuff in reserve.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah, I'll make sure we include that in our show notes.
Thank you so much.
So that way everyone can check you out. And yeah, thank you again so much for joining me, and we'll be in touch.